Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
This week on Dueling Review, it's giant size X-Men number 1 Nightcrawler from Marvel Comics. Superstar writer Jonathan Hickman teams with the legendary artist Alan Davis for an eerie tale of adventure. When the X-Men lose contact with the Grey Malkin habitat, it falls to Nightcrawler to lead a mission into the unknown. Matthew, please explain to me what this giant-size X-Men series is all about, please. Because I know we have, okay, like giant-size Rogue and Gambit and a giant-size like Killer Frost and Jean Grey. And then they had a giant size something else, and this week it's giant size Nightcrawler. So what's going on with these? Because these didn't appear to be larger page counts.
No. When Jonathan Hickman took over the X titles,
yeah,
he literally took every X-Men character, and basically every mutant in the Marvel Universe, pretty much with the exception of Franklin Richards, and there's an asterisk on that one, and he stuck them all together in one place. And so the ongoing X-Men...
And that would be the Krakatoa.
Krakatoa, east of Java, is actually a movie from 1953. But Krakoa, the living island, is now where all the mutants in the Marvel Universe live, or can live. So Professor Xavier and Magneto and Apocalypse and Emma Frost and Cyclops and everyone who's related to Cyclops all live on this little island in the Pacific, right? And all of the X-Men who ever were X-Men are floating around on this island. So giant size X-Men is a way to address what are those other guys doing, even though they're not part of an active team like, you know, the Marauders or X-Force or Excrement or Existentialism. Whatever it is that they're doing, you can get this one shot. Like, for instance, this issue shows a special X-Team, even though it's called giant size X-Men Nightcrawler.
That was the next question I had. Was why is it called giant size Nightcrawler when, number one, this isn't giant size, and number two, this isn't an issue that focuses on Nightcrawler.
Yes, this is a team of Nightcrawler, Magic, Cypher with a Y. It is important that you verify Cypher with a Y because there are two X-Men named Cypher, one with a Y who can speak any language, one with an I who can make herself invisible, and what is that little creep's name?
Doug.
No, Doug is Cypher.
Oh, what do they call him?
I-Boy.
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 And then got the little purple dragon. What's going on with Kitty Pryde? Why isn't Lockjaw hanging around with Kitty Pryde?
Kitty Pryde can't come to Krakoa because Kitty Pryde's phasing powers disrupt mechanical systems. And part of what's happening on Krakoa is biomechanical. And so Kitty is out on a raiding ship, basically a pirate ship, running around and getting supplies.
Ah, okay. Does I-Boy freak you out?
I-Boy freaks me out badly.
Is
I
that because of your...
What happens if poor I-Boy goes...
Is that
to
because
the,
of
to
your wasp nest thing?
No. I mean, I-Boy isn't, like, super, super creepy. When people were taking those pictures and running them through the deep thought?
Oh, yeah, the deep thought. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever that mess was, and putting eyes where they didn't go, that was creepy. I-Boy is gross on a logistical level.
Ah, okay. So what? So
you
what's
have
going
to
on?
Ask yourself, how do you sit down if your eyes are in your butt?
Well, you sit down and close your eyes, I guess, or else you get a really close view at the chair. So what's been going on with the X-Mansion? Why all of a sudden has a giant jungle grown up in the middle of the X-Mansion?
Well, because the X-Men all left and went to Krakoa.
I know when, like 10,000 years ago?
The jungle there is partly Krakoan. You see that big thing that they walk through, the portal that's made of wood? And that's a Krakoa, or part of Krakoa.
Yeah.
And Krakoa has overgrown the X-Mansion.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and then so while they're there, Nightcrawler is seeing all these creepy crawly ghost things. One of them looks like
Thunderbird
from that upcoming movie, X movie, if it ever comes out on Disney Plus. Get it today.
Thunderbird's not in that. That's Thunderbird's little brother.
Oh, okay. You can tell that I care a whole lot about the X-Men because, Cypher shows up and I'm like, how come he's got a warlock arm? That's really weird. Yeah. That was my first thought. Yeah. And I haven't read freaking X-Men since the 90s, man. And the first thing that comes through my mind is, oh, why has he got a warlock arm? Has warlock become human?
No, apparently,
apparently none of the X-Men know that Warlock is living on Doug's body.
Right. They think that Doug, Cypher, is actually a hybrid who has been turned partly into organic technology. But in fact, he's perfectly normal and Warlock is hiding on his body.
Oh, man.
That's actually the big takeaway from this issue. But if they'd called it Giant Size X-Men, Warlock and Cypher, everybody would have been like, we're not buying that comic, dude.
I haven't read X-Men in 20 years, and I saw the big reveal the minute that Doug stepped on the page. What the heck are these Shreedies?
The Sidri. The Sidri are actually established part of continuity.
Okay.
They're alien
bounty hunters. Yeah.
Yeah. They're alien bounty hunters who usually work in Shi'ar space. So you see them in those weird X-Men outer space crap stories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At one point, they tried to kill Cyclops' dad.
Yeah.
And his friends in the Starjammers, who, by the way, have a member called Chode, which...
why isn't Chode in this one?
Because Chode is dead, I'm pretty sure. He's not a mutant.
Long live Chode.
All of the mutants can come back from the dead.
Except for Chode.
But Chode is probably not coming back.
Maybe
what
we should stop
is
saying
sometimes
Chode.
Language evolves, Stephen. Language evolves and Chode gets left behind. Sometimes the Chode stands alone, I think, is what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah.
So the Sidri have apparently infested the X-Mansion.
That's correct.
And they captured Mind Master. The female Mind Master.
Lady Mastermind.
Lady Mastermind.
There's two. Mastermind was a member of the Legion, or the Legion.
The X-Men.
A member of the Brotherhood,
the Brotherhood
of
Evil. Yeah.
The Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. And he had, and I'm almost certain, and I'm going to tell you this right now, he had a daughter who shared his powers. And then it turns out he had two daughters who shared his powers. Because somebody named her in one book and somebody else named her in another book.
Oh.
And there's the characters diverged and the writers didn't confer. And so now there are two baby masterminds. There's Lady Mastermind.
Yeah,
and
who we have in this issue.
Mastermind.
Yes. Okay.
This is the sexy, sexy one.
By what she's
the
wearing.
The Sidri are basically alien cockroaches. Now, that's thing. They've actually cleaned up her suit. Lady Mastermind usually has a lot more...
decoupage. She has a lot of decoupage.
Decoupage, yes. She has tons of decoupage. She's got what I believe Eric Idle would refer to as huge tracts of land. And so they have made her, and God love Alan Davis, he's made her look good.
Yeah, so Alan Davis has been doing X-Men for like a long time, right?
Oh, Alan Davis is the best X-Men artist.
I mean, was he doing the X-Men back in the 90s when Warlock first was appeared?
He was doing Excalibur.
Oh, Excalibur. Okay.
Excalibur was his big deal back in the 90s. But yeah, he's been on the regular X-Men title 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Davis has been around since, I want to say, the early 80s. I know he was drawing Batman and the Outsiders when I was 15 years old. So Davis has been around the block. He's good.
So all this stuff that Matthew's been explaining, good info to have. However, as much as I know about the X-Men, which, you know, is not a whole lot, still able to follow this story. You know, I know who the characters are to a point. I mean, I don't know who Doug is. And, you know, I knew what Warlock was. I didn't care about iBoy because I'm just like, oh, this is just some rando that they're bringing along with him. He's probably never been in a X-Men
weirdo
adventure before.
Random mutant,
And then Ileana, we know her from our...
You may remember her from such movies as Bloody Mess on the Highway.
Yeah,
and
no,
Don't
no.
Get Behind That Wheel.
When we did the, what's that, the New Mutants, when we were doing New Mutant stuff.
Yeah, Ileana's been around forever.
Yeah, so she's been around forever, so you kind of know this. And if you've ever watched any of the X-Men cartoons, you kind of know what Nightcrawler shtick is. And that's all fine, and this is some weird thing with alien bugs and fleshy walls that suck you in, and, you know, we got a problem, let's take care of it, let's go home, and everything's done. And I was rather bored by this story, to be honest with you.
That's the thing.
It's got good writing, it's got Jonathan Hickman, right? Good writer, solid writer. You got...
In the old days.
You got a good art in this book. You got a boring story.
Here's the thing. In the old days, this would have been what you call your B plot.
Yeah.
In an ongoing X-Men book, you would have had all of your guys out there. You would have had like, okay, Cyclops and Wolverine are off fighting bad guys in Madripoor.
Yeah.
And this story would be split over three or four issues, and it would be a couple of pages here and there, intercut with other things. And then you jump back, and at the end of four issue arc, you'd have Cyclops and Nightcrawler meeting up and going, I have found something on in the X-Mansion, and now there are aliens, and now we have given up the aliens. Because Nightcrawler talks like Dieter from Sprockets in my head. And Cyclops would be like, okay, that sounds bad. Also, Wolverine and I beat people up. I talk like Batman. But actually, I talk like Will
Arnett. So are these, are the Sidri related to the Brood at all?
No, but they're a similar concept. The Sidri are... They're like cockroaches.
Their yeah, well, the Brood is kind of like cockroaches. I guess Brood is more like silverfish, right?
The Brood are more like, let's see, earwigs.
Okay.
They burrow into your flesh and lay eggs.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like maggots.
Yeah.
Whereas the Sidri...
but not
now,
like
the thing
X-Men
about
maggot.
The Sidri that's cool is their little red eye.
Yeah.
They have pew-pew beams that can come out of their red eye.
Yeah, I don't care.
I've never actually seen them, you know, climb together into one giant cockroach entity like that movie with the kid from Sliders.
Yeah.
You know, the fat kid from Stand By Me who grew up to marry
Will
Rebecca.
Wheaton.
Good morning. No, Will Wheaton was... Shut up. Anyway.
So this is a boring book. I'm sorry. I like the art. The story is somewhat... The story, it's by a good writer, but the story is just boring.
The story is not a full story. It's set up. It's all character bits and these four X-Men on a mission. And then they're like, somewhere along the line, this thing is going to come back and bite us in the butt because they ceded the mansion to an alien, you know, force of cockroaches.
Yeah. So that's the thing where it gets back to the putting of the number one on here. Because, and we talked about this what was it? One of the 80th anniversary things, and they put a number one on it, and I complained about this a few dueling reviews ago. The way this issue ends, it makes me feel like there's a number two coming, but I don't think there's a number two coming. And so once again, they should have just called this Giant Size X-Men in parentheses or an asterisk, not really giant size, it's a normal size issue, Nightcrawler, and just left it at that.
Not really Nightcrawler. Well, I think
Nightcrawler. Yeah, exactly.
We got the number two in this issue.
We definitely did get a number two in this.
This is interesting. I mean, it's nice to see Nightcrawler, and it's nice to see, you know, references to continuity, references to Rachel Summers, who, by the way, ask me about Rachel Summers in a minute. Rachel Summers' time as a Hound and the death of Thunderbird, who's apparently the only X-Man who has to stay dead, and all of these bits and pieces of continuity. It's backstory. It's B-plot. It's let's build to this next big thing, and it should not be an issue unto itself.
Yeah.
It should be backstory. It should be part of another comic. It should be folded into an ongoing X-Men title, and Marvel's not doing that right now. So when you get to the end of this issue, and it's like, and now read this issue next, they're literally expecting you to buy 8 titles per month to get one full story.
Which was the problem with X-Men in the 90s, which is what this book reminds me of, X-Men in the 90s.
Yeah, you know, it was the problem with Superman in the late 90s. It was the problem with Batman in the 2000s.
Yeah.
If you have to buy multiple titles.
Yeah, it was a problem with Spider-Man when they went 3 times a week or 3 times a month.
Right. Well, and at least that, they, you know, it was all Amazing Spider-Man. Four different teams, that would have been doing four different books, but we call it all Amazing Spider-Man, and mm-hmm. we went from issue 500 to issue 800 in 3 years,
yeah,
which is what Marvel really wants.
Yeah. So I don't know. Here's the thing. If you're a fan of the X-Men, you're probably already bought into everything that Hickman is doing. We'll be reviewing House of X and Powers of 10 coming up later this year on the Major Spoilers podcast, which is what kicks all of this stuff off. So my guess is if you're already picking up X-Men, you're probably picking up all this stuff, especially when you see a number one in front of it or on it, just like Hellions number one that came out this week, which we have a review, I believe, on the Major Spoilers website.
I think that's pronounced Hell Ion.
Oh, Hell Ions. Those are the ions that come from hell. Yeah. From the heck place, for those of you with sensible sensibilities.
H-E double hockey sticks.
Yeah. All you plural clutchers out there. So I'm guessing
plural
that.
Plural clutchers.
Yes. The plural clutchers. That's why it's
Wouldn't
ions with an is, S. No, it's just an S.
But it's you plural the plural, so it's pluralized. It's like alien and then aliens and then aliens.
Aliens is, yes. Yeah. So my guess is you're probably already picking up all this stuff. Here's the thing. I honestly don't think, and I haven't read any other X-Men stuff. So Matthew, maybe you have a different view on this. I honestly don't think you need to get this book for any main X-Men story stuff. Yes, maybe in 20 issues from now, X-Men number 32 will say, oh yeah, maybe we should go back to the X-Mansion and we need to clear out that nest of Seedrees that are sitting hanging around. Mm-hmm. And then people go, Seedrees, how did they get there? And it's like, see, giant size X-Men, size Nightcrawler X-Men. Number one. And people go, that book? I heard that book was dumb. So
here's the thing.
My guess is you don't, if you're an X-Men fan, you don't have to buy this to know what's going on in the overall story. Unless I'm wrong. Unless X-Force number 9 led right into this, which then leads into Hellions number 1, which then leads into Wolverine number 2, and then X-Men number 9.
The reason this book exists is let's give Alan Davis a big, cool book. Alan Davis is an incredible artist. He's one of the classic X-Men story writers. People who draw books, you know, the artists.
Yeah,
he's one of the big name X-folk. And Alan Davis is like, hey, I'm going to draw me an issue of X-Men. And Hickman is like, hell yeah, I'll write you an issue of X-Men because Alan Davis.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this book exists. And they predicate it on Nightcrawler because Nightcrawler is a beloved X-Men. And Nightcrawler drawn by Alan Davis is the second best Nightcrawler you're going to ever get.
Yeah.
And the best Nightcrawler you're going to get now that Dave Cockrum is no longer with us.
Right. Right.
So this is basically an excuse to
vanity project.
Put out, 35 pages of cool Alan Davis art.
Okay. So what's the bottom line for you on this? Because I'm just kind of like, read it if you want, but this is nothing that's going to be a big deal, you know, 6 issues from now.
Tell me again what the cover price is.
I don't know. I'm going to guess it's $3.99. Let me just flippity flappity flu and see if I can pull it up really quick because I don't have it here in front of me. Usually I do. Let's see. Yeah, maybe $4.99. I mean, most Marvel books are $4.99 these days.
Oh, sure. But who's not?
Well, I mean,
everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's $4.99. $5 book.
$5 book. Okay. $5 book. 26 pages.
Let's something like that. Page. 28. I'm sure it's 28.
3 pages. Hang on. 4 pages.
No, we're not doing
pages.
That. We're not doing
hang on,
that.
Hang on,
let's
hang
just
on,
say seven, this eight, is a normal nine, size nine, comic eight. Book. There are multiple double page spreads in this, so adjust accordingly there.
15 pages.
It's probably 15 pages, to be honest, because you got a double page splash. Then you got a credits page. Then you got some
I skipped 17
crazy things going on with the Summers child.
22 pages. 23 pages. 24. OK, hang on.
Matthew can count, ladies and gentlemen.
Pages.
Hey, to all of our people listening in our Discord, you know, you can listen to
28 pages.
See, 28 pages for five bucks. So, I mean, that's typical. That is typical comic books right now. So there's nothing giant size about this. So giant size needs an asterisk. X-Men. Okay, we'll leave that alone. Nightcrawler asterisks. There's two things in here. Number one, this isn't giant size. Number two, this isn't a book that is all about Nightcrawler at all. If anything, it's more about Doug.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a Doug-centric issue. And I will give them props for one thing. If you go up to the internet right now, and I guarantee you, I dare you to do this, go and type the following words into any search engine, 10 lamest X-Men, and you will find iBoy and you will find Cypher on those lists. So you have to give them credit for putting both of those characters front and center in a high-profile project and going, hey, shut up, we love them, they're cool.
Oh, but here it is, the first hit. For 10 lamest X-Men ever, number one, Cypher.
Yep.
Do you know who number two is?
Every single time.
Do you know who number two is?
Maggot.
No, Gambit.
Oh,
do you know
contrarian.
Who number? Do you know who number three is?
Maggot.
Slipstream.
What? What? Okay, I can see
that's
that.
Who's number one.
Slipstream was a surfer. Who had magic surfing powers, and his big sister was basically Pam Anderson, only made of gold and metal.
Oh. Guess who's number four?
Yeah. Maggot?
Pixie.
Pixie? Everybody loves Pixie.
You guess
Everybody
who's number
loves
guess
Barfie.
Who's number five?
Maggot?
Dazzler.
What?
Yeah.
You close that page.
Guess who is number? No, they number one. They you were right. Cypher is on. Cypher is on that list. Guess who's number six?
Maggot.
I'm sorry, Ink.
Wait, there's an X-Men called. Oh right, Ink.
He's a character that can call upon his tattoos as powers to defeat bad guys. You know, like that Green Lantern villain.
Here's the thing, though. Ink is not a mutant.
What was that Green Lantern villain's name? Tattoo Man.
Not a mutant. The Tattooed Man.
Yeah,
there were actually two of them. There was Tattooed Man 1 and the second one, who was cleverly named Tattooed Man 2.
Guess who's number 7?
Maggot!
Jubilee!
God! No.
Guess who's number 8?
Okay.
Guess who's number 8? No, this
Back
is good because you already, cause you already told us. You already told us everything we need to know about number 8.
Shut their lion mouth. Stacey X.
No, Lifeguard.
Stacey X is on there. She is.
No.
She is.
Guess who's number
Skin.
9? Guess who's number
Skin.
9? No. Maggot.
Yeah.
And guess who is number 10?
Beak.
Toad? There you go. Those are your 10
your
worst
mother,
X-Men according to this website.
You tell that website to shut their
I'm not
going to
tell this website.
Mouths.
I'm not going to tell this website anything. Listen, why did we end up reading a $5 X-Men book that is neither giant size nor related to the to Nightcrawler at all?
Because our listeners are sadists.
I'm looking at you, Carl, in the chat, in the Discord chat.
And they went to patreon.com/majorspoilers, and they did a thing, and
they
that's
voted.
The thing that we had to do, and they're mean.
Yeah, they voted for this, which is fine. It's fine, because you guys pick some real winners, and sometimes you guys pick some real winners. If you know
sometimes
what I mean.
You pick a friend and sometimes you pick your nose, but please, God, don't pick your friend's nose.
And that's all you had to do. I mean, you don't even have to be a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers to pick your friend's nose or pick your own nose. But all you had to do is vote for free. Now, there's a bunch of other stuff over at patreon.com/majorspoilers that you might want to kick in a couple of bucks a month, $5 a month, because right now those dollars help keep everything we have going. And what are some of those things that people can get when they head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers?
Well, if you hurry, you can see it say 666 exclusive posts, which entertains the crap out of me. But you also get access to our Critical Hit podcast, probably the most popular D&D podcast that we offer.
Ever of all time.
Right? A week early. You get to hear that. Before all of the plebes, you get access to Major Spoilers pre-show every week, where the Major Spoilers crew kind of gears up for the show.
Yeah, this is
sometimes
a good one this
we
week.
Curse.
This is a good this week.
Yeah, sometimes we curse. I've heard Ashley say the F word and two S words and a Q word, my friends.
Uh-oh.
And she's bilingual.
Quixote, huh? Oof, got to watch out for that. Listen, you also have access to two other RPG shows that are exclusive to the Patreon page. We've got the Shadow of the Demon Lord run by Dr. Brad Will, and we have the 6-issue limited series because it's a comic book, right? It's Modern City Tales, The Dead and the Old. Oh, it's a good one. It's going to wrap up here in what, like 4 or 5 weeks. I think we just had episode 3 release, 2 or 3 release. That's so you've got a few more. So you want to get in there and you want to get those kinds of things. And of course you want to vote on the shows coming out next week. Coming out next week from Wait a minute. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to unfold, product distributed by Diamond and slated for an on-sale date of April 1st or later will not be shipped to retailers until further notice. This is on the official Diamond website, and it says, hey, please read the statement from our beloved founder and all-around good Nick, Steve Geppi or Jeppy. He says in his letter, effects on Diamond comic distribution. For the time being, however, we have been able to develop procedures with our teams for the distribution center in Olive Branch, Mississippi, to safely continue fulfillment of direct ship orders for the retailers who are able to receive new product and need to service their customers. That's all worded really bad. It's unlikely that orders will be filled on the same day as they're placed, and these plans are subject to change if at any point we no longer feel we can safeguard our team while fulfilling orders. And then it says, let's see. With those changes in our distribution strategy, we will work with our publishing partners to develop programs that will address product already in the pipeline and what will happen when we resume distribution. We know that during this time you may face many challenges, and we will direct your energies toward addressing them rather than fighting on increasingly numerous fronts to get product out. So I guess there's nothing for you guys to vote for next week. And I guess there's, since there's no new comics, Matthew, there's really no reason to continue this show past this episode. So
wrong, sir. Wrong.
Okay. So here's what I think we can do.
Okay.
So there has been obviously print copies, and this is all, you know, a moving target. So this time next week, it could be totally different. But at this time, we know that the no print comics are arriving in stores. We know for sure that Dark Horse will not be releasing digital comics unless they can coincide with those print comics arriving on store shelves. So for the foreseeable future, there are no Dark Horse comics arriving for review. I mean, we have some for the next couple of weeks, actually, and I don't know if we'll be allowed to review those, but we certainly have some Dark Horse comics that are in the queue because they send stuff out to us 2 weeks early, as does Dynamite Entertainment. IDW Publishing is the only publisher that I have heard back from directly that has said, we are going to follow what Diamond is doing, and we will only release the digital comics when the print comics are available. And my understanding, and I don't know, this is not 100% fact, this is just some things that I have gathered from scraping many websites and many articles on this, is that apparently in the contracts that publishers sign with Diamond now, if they have digital editions, they're forbidden under their contract from releasing those digital titles before the print titles arrives. And that's to appease the brick and mortars who thought that digital comics were going to end their businesses. So my guess is that all other comic publishers are doing the same thing. However, I did receive an email from Zenoscope that says new reviews. Woohoo. And it's for comics that are arriving April 8th. So 2 weeks from now, I have seen I got a notification from Comixology that said, hey, that Batman comic that you have on your digital pull list is coming out in the next 10 days. So there hasn't been any word from DC or Marvel. So right now we're working with a moving target. My guess is Comixology Originals or Digital Firsts will not be impacted by this decision. But nobody has put out a press release yet because, quite frankly, I don't think anyone knows what they're doing. I shouldn't say that they don't know what they're doing. They're all working on trying to...
They don't know what they can do or
right,
will
exactly. Do. Right, exactly. That's what I don't want to make it sound like people aren't competent enough to deal with this situation.
Precisely.
But my guess is that Digital First comics will still be available, and at some point Comixology will announce that. Comixology Originals, of course, they have a print publication that comes out months afterwards, so we could still see digital comics arriving on those store shelves. I will get clarification from Dark Horse, and I will get clarification from Zenoscope if we are allowed to review their books early. I'm sure they will, because that's why they send them to us early, so we can work on those reviews. We could just call it an advance review or whatever. So we will still have those reviews potentially available. But I think next week, we won't know until Wednesday what DC and Marvel are going to do. And if on Wednesday morning we all wake up and there's a slew of DC and Marvel comics waiting in our Comixology apps, then we will probably pick a comic from DC, Marvel, or a Comixology original for next week. After that, I can't tell you what's going to happen. We may not have comics to review on the Dueling Review podcast. And if we don't have comics to review, there may not be a reason to do a show. But I'm pretty sure your good old friends at Major Spoilers, we rarely take off from recording shows from you because we are so nose to the grindstone, because we're so dedicated to get shows out to you every week, because so many of you are our patrons and support us at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Even when times are tight, even when things are going crazy, we have many, many supporters. And I want to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart, because honestly, you are what is keeping us going. So we will have dueling reviews going forward, but maybe we'll do some different things if we don't have comics to review. I'm going to try to get, like I said, I'm going to try to get clarification, but at our best, we will continue to review new comics that are available each week for you. Unfortunately, because we don't know what those comics are, we have to shut down the voting system right now. So while we were doing great, right, it seems like every time Major Spoilers gets a milestone where we start having lots of people jumping in and saying, review this crappy giant size X-Men number one. When we get so many people doing it, suddenly the universe opens its eyes and says, oh, that Major Spoiler is causing trouble again. We better knock them down a peg. So we're actually going to lose some of the great interactions that we have built up with you over the last couple of weeks because of so many people going in and voting on this. Because we don't know what's coming out, we can't vote. We can't have anything like that. We'll try to keep you informed ahead of a time, especially if you are in our Discord server. There's a link in the show notes. That Discord server, there is a channel called, what is it called? Streaming This Week or Shows This Week? What is it called? What We're Doing This Week.
I want to say Shows This Week.
Yeah, What's Going On This Week is a channel where I go in and say, okay, here are all the shows that we're recording this week. And over the last month or so, I have gone in and said, okay, here's what you guys voted on. Here's the comic that we're reviewing ahead of time. We're probably not going to be able to even let you know ahead of time before Wednesday. So, but you can go there and check and see what we're doing. But I promise we will have 30 minutes of fun for you every week.
That's
going
right.
Forward, regardless. And if this goes
because
on...
Because we have no friends, we have no lives, and we know that
we've got,
you do too.
No, listen to this. We've got some really cool friends. We've got D. Harshman. We've got Kevin Levin is in there. Mark Smith is here this week. Marshall is here. Slag Lantern, Texura, The True Elect. Omega Lazarus is not here this week. But, you know, Ingrid is not here this week. But we have lots of people that show up in the chat. And those are the people that we love hanging out with every week. I will call them my friends, although you don't want to be around me if I have my sword out.
You certainly don't want to be around him if he has broccoli.
But here's the thing. We're going to be here every week. And even for those of you who are not part of the Discord or who are not listening to this show live at 8 o'clock on Thursdays, you might want to, just giving you a heads up, you might want to. We're going to still have something for you. So if you're worried that one of your podcasts is going to go away because of what's going on in the comic industry, let me assure you that's not going to happen. I promise you, unless one of us falls ill or one of us is out of town or one of this of us has some other serious obligation, you know that we'll do a show for you. That's what we do. That's what we're here for you. The only times that we take off is if someone is seriously ill or if one of us is on vacation. And that's really the only times that we take off.
And after 30 years, if Steven and I were going to have a Martin and Lewis split where we go off and I become successful and he starts drinking heavily, it would have happened before now, kids.
I mean, I've already started drinking heavily, so.
That's true. You do that.
No, actually, I don't. Actually, I haven't had a drink. I haven't had alcohol in.
Then why do you sound like half-speed William Riker, Steven?
Because that's the cool William Riker. Everybody knows that.
I've had to
practice slowing down my speech because I listen to all my podcasts at double speed. And so I noticed that when I listen to the podcast at double speed, I start talking at double speed and it's like, oh no, that's not how people talk. I need to slow down. So yes, I sound
when
like half speed William Riker.
Sometimes you do speak very fast.
Yes. But so that's the deal. So that is the deal right now. Dueling Review isn't going away. For the next couple of weeks until shipping resumes, we will continue to pick comics for you. But as soon as the comic shipping returns and we know when comics are returning on the shelves, voting will resume for you guys. And you can head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers and you can begin voting and pick another wonderful comic for us to review. Because that's what we do. And next week we will have a comic to review. And maybe you'll get to hear Matthew say...
Have you ever been in the garage with the cars? Oh.
This podcast is copyright 2020 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.